Well, good evening. Welcome to this September 11th, 2012 City Council meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask you to take a roll call, please.
Councilperson Gary.
Here.
Cutterback.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Present.
Before we go into the Pledge of Allegiance, I know everybody has probably seen one or two specials over the last few days commemorating or remembering, for that matter, the tragedy that took place on September 11, 2001. Had an opportunity to spend some time at the chamber today and reflect, and wanted to allow us, in honor and respect for those who gave their lives, an opportunity to show that respect and honor through a moment of silence. And so we'll take the next few seconds to remember those lives that were lost.
Trees that are in easement,
they're not my trees, I didn't plant them there. I'm assuming the city did. I don't know. They would need to be removed as well, and I'm sure you saw the pictures. They're large trees. I can't put a fence on the other side of the trees unless the trees were removed. Plus, they're a nuisance. I don't like planting up the leaves every fall. So if they were removed, I'd be happy. So, and plus, it'd be a lot easier for me to put my fence up. And I heard that there's a report, correct?
Correct.
That'd be still today?
It is, okay. This evening.
So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Lewis did send an email, responded, and as part of the response, I also asked that Operations Director Falbrick provide us with an update with regards to a couple points in Mr. Lewis's email, as well as some other locations that are affected as part of the council direction last week or the week before. And we'll see that or hear that as part of our agenda this evening. Item number 3. Okay, thank you, Mr. Lewis. All right, Martha Donners.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm Martha Donners, and I live at 14005 Ryder Road, Monroe. I'm here as a board member of the Monroe Sky Valley YMCA, and I'm here to invite you to help us celebrate our 5-year anniversary celebration. The Y has been a community hub ever since it opened its doors 5 years ago. And we are a gathering place for families, for teens, for seniors, for little kids, for minorities, for individuals with special needs. And with these relationships, we have engaged the community in programs that really have been life-changing. And I want to give you a couple quick stories. One is like Linda, who is a cancer survivor, and through our cancer support group, she became involved on other white programs. And at the time she joined the group, she was a self-described couch potato, morbidly obese, really very unhealthy, and she became involved with the program. And Linda has, over the last couple of years, lost 140 pounds. She now is an active participant in an Ironman triathlon. I shared an exercise class with her. She makes me look like a couch potato, and she truly is amazing. Well, there was Carlos, who was part of our Minority Achievers program, and he did some after-school tutoring, and he also participated in their soccer program on Saturday nights, and he said, if it weren't for that soccer program, I'd be on the streets of Monroe Saturday night. And now he is coaching little kids in soccer. For Mike, who is living with cerebral palsy, he said, I never participated in active sports. You've seen down in Miracle League. Have you guys ever gone down to Miracle League and seen some of those games? When Mike's there, he is now a volunteer at the Y. We have programs for kids with special needs in bowling, in arts, in cooking, in basketball, in swimming. He's there as a volunteer. Life-changing for him. So this is what we mean by the Y has impact in our community. Our strategic plan reflects our mission, which is healthy youth development, healthy living, social responsibility. And that's why we have made it a priority to be a community partner. And we've done this summer, I don't know if you heard about the partnership we had with the schools, where we had a 3-week program with kindergarten readiness. That's not something like a help someone who just does exercise classes do. This is someone who really wants to make a difference to the community, and that's what the Y is all about. We want to partner with businesses to help them create healthier workforces. We want to help parenting groups learn stronger parenting skills. That's some of the programs that we do in partnership. As a nonprofit, we don't ask ourselves, in this economy that is still struggling to succeed, we don't ask ourselves, what is it we have to do without? But we ask ourselves, what can we do together better? So that's kind of our focus. So as part of our celebration, we have a litany of programs coming up this month, and I have a prepared packet for each of you. So you can participate, bring your families along. They're all free, and there's some stories in there as well. And we hope to see you there. The last 2 weeks are free membership for the whole community. There's lots of free stuff given away, lots of fun things. So if you're not already a Y member, here's your great opportunity to participate and see what we're about. So thank you for giving me a few minutes to take with this in your meeting tonight.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. that's all that I have signed up this evening. But as always, I would like to open the podium to members of the audience. I know that Joel, other people don't know, so I'd like to let them know. So I open the podium to members of the audience. You're welcome to address council on any subject that you may feel comfortable. So with that said, Joel, you can see him.
Joel Phillips, 55 Circle Drive, Monroe. And I'm just curious, have you guys secured the money yet from the franchise fees for the cameras?
We have not progressed in moving towards that at all this year.
Okay.
I just, from my perspective, Joel, I know that you're passionate about that. It's been one of the low-hanging fruits in the priority. If council would like to move that up and direct staff to go forward with that, we'll be glad to do that. But there have been other issues and other items that staff has been spending time, a lot of time on.
I was just wondering about that. I haven't been beating my drum, so to speak. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience who'd like to address council?
Hi.
Hi, and if you would, your name and address for the record.
Okay, my name is Katie Thompson. 15673 Lakeview Avenue Southeast. So I'm not quite sure what to say. I sent all of you guys a letter last week. It's regarding the city property behind my house. You guys aware of that issue on Lakeview? So my concern is I have a 3-year-old, and right now, sorry, I'm nervous. I have a fence that lines the ditch right now. In the winter, it gets really cold. And right now, we've been told that we have to remove any permanent structures, which would be our fence. And I'm wondering if I can leave that fence that lines the ditch, because the concern is they need to be able to get their tractors by to get to homes that have overgrown brush and whatnot. Ours doesn't really keep up our ditch. I talked to one of the men that drives the tractors last week, and he said his opinion, ours is fine, the fence is fine. He's noticed that our ditch is always cleaned up with brush and whatnot. So I guess I'm just hoping you guys will let us keep our fence there. So we won't fall in the ditch.
Katie, you did get my response, correct?
I did.
Informing you of the fact that we would be bringing this to council tonight. We are going to have a report from staff.
Okay, I guess I'm not sure how all this runs out usually. So you guys will just talk about it tonight?
We are.
Okay, great.
Well,
that's it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience who'd like to speak with council this evening? Okay. No business and action items this evening, so we will recess the meeting and reconvene the study session as of 7:15. Our first study session's topic is the redevelopment of city landfill. Mr. Fowler.
Thank you. Good evening. As you may be aware, behind the front fire store and behind the blue fire grill area to the west of the Galaxy Theater is a big hill. And within that hill is a bunch of garbage. If you look at the map that was attached to your council cover sheet, that kind of light blue area, it's not a lake. That's the supposed outline of the garbage or landfill. The city operated the dump in that area that was closed in about 1975. And since that time, it's been monitored by various government agencies. And the health district comes out every once in a while to make sure that the cover is still on it and makes Jacob go fix it if someone's driven their 4x4 up there and left ruts. So it's still an active site in the governing body's opinions. There is some interest that's been expressed by some people about redeveloping that property, and in fact, it was in the Parks Comprehensive Plan as being an extreme sports site, but it was changed in zoning in 2003, the comp plan designation, and the zoning changed it to general commercial. And some of the recent people that have been living around town for things have expressed an interest in developing that property. There is a couple ways to do it. The garbage is a big problem for that. So whether or not we sell it before the garbage is removed and just give it to somebody as is and let them deal with it, or does the city want to take on the responsibility of investigating and then removing the garbage to create a site that is more valuable after that garbage has been taken care of. Met with company Parametrics regarding that issue, and just for some advice on how to do that, because they have a farm fields program which is reclaiming old sites, both either chemical pollution or landfills. And they suggested a four-phase approach that would allow, rather than signing up to spend a whole bunch of money initially, we could do this a little bit at a time to find out actually what's out there. Their first phase is to do research and what they call regulatory definition. Because the lot, since the landfill slash dump is so old, it's kind of unclear what regulations apply to it. And that will also depend on maybe what's there. There is some laws that say that after a landfill has been closed for 30 years, it's no longer considered a landfill and no longer regulated. But then, as often happens in laws, it says except when the people who regulate decide that they should regulate it longer. We've talked to the health district, who's our regulatory agency, and we've asked them about these things. They said, well, we'll propose something to us and we'll tell you if it's okay. So we would need at least to do the first phase, which is to find out what the regulations are that apply to our site and do some preliminary research. I was just looking for something else in the old minutes from meetings, and there was an entry in there about that the city council was reprimanding the dump guard for letting people dump there without paying the fees. So there might be some interesting stuff in old city records that indicate where things were dumped, what was dumped there, and things like that, which would give us a better definition of what we might find. That's the first phase. And then the second phase, that's $7,500. Second phase, we'd actually be going out there and drilling holes and doing testing and things like that to find out the actual extents of the garbage and if they run into anything that's terribly toxic like PCBs or things like that. Next step is to do an alternatives analysis that I think I may have lost that part of my cover sheet, but they're talking about you can remove the entire amount of garbage, or you could, if you look on the map, there's a couple of bumps that stick out, you cut those off and put a retaining wall there and allow more space to be developed commercially. You can spread it all out and raise the whole thing up with a bigger cover and then sell it to somebody that way in an elevation that's higher than the surrounding area. And that's basically that. Those are the three big ones, different alternatives that we can do. That would also allow them to come up with some designs on how the material can be removed and also to investigate PQ support, which is public-private partnerships, and whether or not there's anybody out there that would be interested in partnering with us to work on that. That would include such things as mining the materials for any metals that were in there and then what to do with the surrounding soil, dirt, fill material. And then the fourth phase would be to actually design something and send it out to bidding. So all told, that's costing you around $500,000, plus however much it costs to get rid of the material. This is kind of what's up with the council, what's your thoughts on that, and where would you like the staff to go? My recommendation is right now is to authorize the council and staff to do the first phase. Would be what we're looking for, but doing a request for proposals for that, so we can find out what else who else out there was qualified to do that and not sign up for something huge initially, but just give us an idea of what's there. And even if we decide not to do anything additionally ourselves, that would help somebody, if we sell it, to have more of an idea of what they're buying. So they don't have, we don't have to sell it at rock bottom prices because no one knows what they're getting into. So any questions?
If I may add a little bit to that, and I'll ask Jeff to step in here also with regards to conversations that he's had with Jane and some other parties. Really, we were at this point because we asked Brad, what would it take to get this, let's say, billable rent? What would this land be worth if there was no hill and there was no garbage dump there? And essentially, 13 acres. We're looking at a potential of how many millions?
Just
supposed to have a your head there.
About 3.2, 3.3 million.
3.2, 3.3 million. However, we have a hill and we have a landfill. There is gravel there that can be used. There is dirt that can be used, and there could be junk, I guess you could say, that could be sold or scrapped or whatever you want to call it, that could also be used. So what I had asked Brad to do was give us some information if the what it would take for the city to prepare to flatten that hill out, and what would we need to know, what would we need to learn. At the very least, if we were to do any part of this, it's information that we can use to be able to provide to a potential buyer, and then through a purchase and sale agreement, discuss different options with regards to the materials that are on. Do we give a discount, and so on and so forth. So right now we're in the very high stages, high levels of understanding. But anything that we get at this point could be helpful with regards to a couple of particular interested parties. And Jeff, you could speak a little bit more to that if you'd like. But that's why we're here this evening.
Just real high-level conversations we've had with the potential buyer for the Galaxy property is looking at the tattoo, the gravel lot in the northwest corner of the Galaxy site, expanding that to allow for a larger structure, a larger commercial building to go in there. In addition, come down to the south behind Kelsey Road Station, directly down into Fred Meyer, develop that area along there. Delineating the boundaries of where the garbage actually is would allow us to talk feasibility with the potential buyer as to whether we can extract that rock without getting into the landfill, or if we did get into the landfill, what ramifications that would have. I don't think we would want to get into the landfill without really taking a very serious look at removing all the trash or garbage inside the landfill. So there's also an interest. I've been contacted over the last year probably 6 or 7 times by folks that have asked, have you ever considered remediating the landfill? Now, no serious interest, but out of those 6 calls, 2 were developers and 1 or another 4 were engineering firms that do this type of work. And I think what Brad is presenting here tonight is a very logical sequence process to go through, identify first regulatory hurdles. Can we clean the mess up an act of Congress? So I think there's value in a landfill. 20 years from now, if that's commercial property instead of a sledding hill, I think there's great value to the community if we get that direction.
Thank you, Jim. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. I do love the sledding hill. Is this, looking at the map, does this abut DOT right away? the property just to the west of it, is that?
Almost.
Almost.
The pointy piece is the one that, that's the part that we own, that the Bosch dot came.
Okay, so that's actually.
Can you give that to us for the 522 bypass? And then after that is DOT property.
Yeah, so all the way to the left is DOT property,
yes.
The triangle,
yeah.
We actually own that as well. Thank you. Yeah, I certainly, we need to know what's in there. The possibility of, I would love to see something done with this piece of property. I think it presents a great opportunity from that standpoint. We want to be careful financially with how much we're spending this. And I think anybody who's going to come and sign a purchase and sale agreement for this is going to want to know what's in there. I mean, so we're going to have to do, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to figure some of these things out anyway, right? From that standpoint, I think we certainly need to do the phase one. It'd be great to get all that junk out of there. And if there's stuff that we can, I guess I'd be a little more apt to, maybe even do it as is and say, go for it and leave the problem to them. But I'd sort of love to hear some other thoughts on that. I guess it's the end result, which is what I'm most interested in, which is having to be something viable, something cool that that people in the community can enjoy. So to that end, I'd like to see us move forward. And so, if we need phase one, then I think that's great. Thank you.
And the other question to council could be is that, we're responding to some inquiries from a potential buyer today. There are certainly a number of questions that need to be answered. We've had other inquiries as to what we could do with that property. The question to council is this the right time? Do you want to prioritize or begin the process now? Or do you want to wait? Or do you want to take the position that buyer, kind of as is, buyer beware? The reality of that is that we've seen that with other properties. The better that we can prepare that property, or at least prepare the buyer for at least through understanding what they have, better opportunities or opportunity we're going to have at marketing and selling that property.
If I may, that's what I mean by as is. We got to find out what's in there, and then hey, here's what's in there. Go for it. So anyway, not do nothing and just let them have it. We need to know.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Thank you, Councilmember Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. So, just going off of what you just said, it seems like we would, depending on what we find out from phase one, we would almost have to do phase two. Is that what I'm hearing? Otherwise, the alternative is we would have to sell it at a very low price because they'd have no idea what they're getting.
I mean, yeah, and unless phase one comes up and says there is no regulation anymore because it's been closed for more than 30 years and we're off the hook. And it's just, dirt now.
But if there is a regulation, then we're almost going to have to do phase two. So
I would assume, but Jeff might be able to correct this, if somebody wants to buy something, they want to know more than less about what they're getting into.
Okay. So, to me, phase one seems reasonable just from the standpoint of it's been up there for a long time. No one's been doing anything with it. We should know what we've got. And there's no risk at that point other than $7,500. We're not obligated to do anything. So I support going through the phase one. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And the value of the land, selling the property at reduced costs, there's a very good case to be made for that. If a potential buyer wants to come in and sign a full lease and take on all the liability and pay a low price to the city, you're putting the property back on the tax rolls and you're transferring liability to a potential buyer, that is a case that should be addressed and analyzed. The other side of the coin is the city invests a tremendous amount of money extracting all that material, and then we realize that the capital gain of clean, flat commercial property that we can sell. So, either way, somebody's going to be investing some money in extracting all the whatever.
Yeah, just for the record, I'm not interested in land development for the city.
I agree. I like the option A where we offer the property at a reduced price and shift liability and everything to the And the reason why I say that is because of the zoning here, commercial, we're going to get something that is most likely going to generate sales tax revenue for the city at some point. So having not to spend a great deal of money to level this out and make it build ready, in the end, whatever the reduction might be worth it because of the potential in new business and sales tax. Not quite sure who was first. So this year, council member Gamble.
But I would agree with the A option, but even with that, we're going to need, we need to know a little bit, if you were to, how much do you discount? Discounting it too much, all that type of stuff. I did have a question, though, because you made the reference that all told about $500,000. To me, it's not adding up to $500,000, so I must be missing something.
There's the plus and minuses.
No, I know, but even taking the high side of things, unless there's a plus on the 4 to 6 months phase four, because it just shows $125,000.
Yeah, that's 200.
Yeah, because it's only about $250,000.
Yeah, okay. We got to do that.
Yeah. Okay, I was missing something there.
You're missing something.
You're not missing anything. I'm not missing something.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that would be my drivers as well.
If I misunderstood this myself, I was thinking that 125 was inclusive of all four phases.
That's how I originally wrote it.
So it is 25 to 50 for just phase two.
Yes.
And then an additional 50 to 75 for just phase three. I'll get my bet. I was thinking that most we were within 125. So
I thought that as well. And then when you said the half million, I added it up, and I go, I don't know what I'm reading.
Very good. All right. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. You mentioned the possibility, again, we don't know what's in there, the possibility of bad stuff, PCB. Is there a significant risk if you do turn on something like that? I know this is...
You have to do something with it.
Okay. So if we were to turn up something like that, then our whole direction would change from commercial development or to, okay, we've got a toxic waste dump.
Yeah, but then it just after you would do the $125,000 plus the design something,
right.
That's why the plus is there, because if in the earlier stages when you drill that hole, when you hit something bad, it's like, okay, now it's going to cost a lot more to design it because you have to take care of more things and isolate it and things like that. It also increases the cost of removing the material.
Now, phase one is primarily just a records check. So that's what we find out initially whether or not there is certain.
I mean, you see if there's any records, way back when someone wrote down, four refrigerators dropped off, that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm thinking more like four transformers.
I was being optimistic still.
Okay, so that could change the whole direction of this, but regardless. That's all good. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Williams.
Thank you. I don't know if this is for Brad or Jeff, but does this in any way impact Lot 2 for Galaxy as far as access to it or anything like that? And then what about the pie-shaped parcel? I believe Councilman Gearing was referring to that. Just to the left there. Does it open that up? Does it do anything? That's still city property, correct?
Kind of.
It's owned by the city. Somebody else owns the mineral rights to it, but DOT wants it for 532 extension to the highway 2 bypass.
Okay, so it's not really developable.
Yeah, and it's like 75% wetland too.
Okay.
So,
all right, thank you,
Councilmember Hander.
Thank you. So, Brandon, how do you access that parcel? Right now, how does the city access it? If we were to sell it, how do we access it?
Legal access, or actually how would we
legal access?
Legal access. There's an access on the south side of Kelsey Road Station. Blue Fire Road.
Okay.
That right away is an easement to that piece of property.
Okay.
So behind Fred Meyer.
Yeah.
Where you can park in the theater and sled down the hill.
So I think it's a good idea. I concur with everything that's been said. We should get started and see what we can find.
Thank you, Councilmember Pettibat.
Thank you. Brad, did this come up previously at a council meeting? I seem to remember at a much older council meeting. Has this ever come up and been discussed or looked at or researched?
Not, yes, it has several times, but not in this way. I think we've come, I mean, a long time ago we came when we were having the studies done to see if toxic things were leaking out into the wetland in the west of this site. And we probably had reports from the health district regarding that at that time, and whether natural gas, methane was leaking out of here too. That they've mentioned, but nothing with regards to. And we talked about it when we talked about doing sports things up there, because the destination development person came to the council and talked about Zorbs, which is the balls. You put people in a ball and push it down the hill.
So we talked
about it in that way, but you mentioned, not that I can recall of actually removing the garbage.
So not discussing it as commercial land that we want to sell, garbage?
Not that I recall. I know it was discussed at the council when it was changed to the zoning of general commercial.
Okay.
But I don't know what was talked about to do with it at that time.
Okay, just curious. I heard that it had come up before.
Yeah.
It was discussed. Where does the funding come from? Because it seems like, in listening to the other council members, that the $7,500, to do the research, but then most likely we'd have to do phase two. Where do you foresee that money coming from out of this year's budget? Is it this year? It sounds like if we start now, it's going to fit into this year's budget, 30 days, 45 days.
Except we probably have at least 30 days to advertise for request for proposals, review the request for proposals, you negotiate a contract. So you're probably at the end of the year before you get anybody on board, or pretty close. So the most we probably spend this year would be $7,500, and then if we went on to phase two, that would be next year.
Okay, so you're looking at trying to write this into next year's budget?
If council's direction is to do that.
No, I get that. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out budgeting and where mm-hmm. we come from. My last question was about the design of bid, just so I understand. So when you say design in that phase four, you're talking about designing a process or bidding it to remove the stuff.
Correct.
Not visualizing and finalizing design. Okay. It's just
you need to put the sorting bid, station here to move the ferrous metals, the non-ferrous metals, the paint cans move over here, the truck center here, the wash down or whatever is that kind of stuff.
So basically $250,000 to just kind of do research, figure out what's in there, and then design a process to remove it. And
right.
That doesn't even include removal.
That doesn't
which
include
is really going to depend on
what's
how there. Much is in there and what's in there. So, okay. Thanks, Brad.
Okay. Well, I think we're good with regards to, thank you very much for the comments feedback. With regards to phase one, we'll move forward most likely in 2013 with recommendations and requests for any further phases at that point. This will be part of our discussion during the budget discussions here in the next couple of months. At the same time, we'll also give word to some of the interested parties that council is supportive of moving forward to discover what we've got out there, which I think will be well received. All right, very good. Thank you very much. And unless there's anything else, we'll move on to the next portion of the evening's agenda, which is our department reports. And I think you've seen reports that were in the packet tonight. A nice letter from Betsy Lewis for our Parks Department, since Mike's not here. I'll just ask each department head to, if they've got anything further, Mr. Sachs, anything further? Chief Quincy, anything additional? Ben? Mr. Bauer?
Sure. Okay. just to bring your attention to the five big projects we have going on right now, that some of the different stages, we have the Dennis addition off of Main Street, doing 25 new lots. We have Carriage Place off of Chain Lake Road, just past the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that's actually under construction right now, for 17 lots. We have the Eagle Lot off of Raider View Plate Road, 149 lots-ish. And then Bear Mountain off the end of the foothills, and that's 62 lots. And then also next door is dropped off their first set of plants. So we're busy. It all came at once. So.
Yep, I need you.
And with regard to next door, they've let us know that they're ready to close at the end of September rather than the end of October. So we're rushing along. We've got a short plat that we have to finish first, but as soon as we get that accomplished, we can move to closing.
Yay. I'll say it. Jake, anything from your side?
No, sir.
Okay, very good. Well, then that leads us to item number three in study session topic, and this is really in response to a couple of emails I received last week. One from Ms. Thompson and one from Mr. Lewis. And so I had asked staff to review a couple of points, especially from Mr. Lewis's email, and provide council with some feedback, and as well as bring this back to council again, for you to consider the requests that you received in the emails. And I wanted to, because neither of the two individuals who emailed us last week were here at previous meetings, I wanted just to provide the opportunity to have some discussion. And but what I did share with them is that any decision that's made today is a policy decision, that of council, and that we would take the whole into consideration, not just one or two individual properties. However, one or two individual properties may influence your decision on the whole. So what we will do here is I'll ask Jacob and Brad to step in at this point and provide us with a little update and some feedback with regards to the emails that we got.
Sure. I'll start off. I think we'll do it differently. We'll do it separately. Let's start with the word blade one, which we've talked about a couple times with the city council. Most recently last week, when council directed staff to extend the time to having everything removed by the 24th of September, and that considering all the possibilities that we discussed, that it was necessary to have all the structures removed from the city property. And then we actually sent out another letter to the property owners on Friday to make sure that they knew that, so they didn't spend all weekend taking everything off and getting a note on Monday going, oh, never mind, and we have two more weeks. So we sent that letter out on Friday to them, to the five property owners we sent the letters to before. The first time we brought the council the decision to clear, maintain, or have access remain available to the city properties and easements. We did mention to you that was gonna, you know, we were taking that and expanding it to the other areas in the city where people were on city property or easements. And as a result of that, we did send letters to the property owners along the ditch on the north side of Black Horse, which is the property on 153rd, just west of 171st. That one is an interesting situation. That's the Division 1 of Filings. And the ditch itself, the property is still actually owned by the Welcomes, and the city has a stormwater easement over that. In all the other divisions of the Filings, they actually dedicated the property that the ditches are in to the city of Monroe. So this one isn't city property. The city has an easement over it for maintenance of our stormwater system. In this case, we need to, and it's also slightly different from the Lord's Lake situation, because we could maintain the ditch at Lord's Lake, but it was actually other people's stuff on our property. In this case, it's the maintenance of the ditch that we're concerned about, is because it's a narrow, there's houses backed up on both sides, so the only way to get into the ditch is from either end, and in order to drive something down there, you need the full width of the easement, not just where the water is in the middle of the easement. And so we sent out the letter to those property owners requesting their removal in 30 days. And I think that we talked about this afterwards, that we changed the format of our letters please contact us to arrange removal in 30 days. So in case there's, like Mr. Lewis's case, he'd like some more time, we can work with the property owner in order to have that accomplished. But we found in the past when we send people letters that just are too open-ended, they have a tendency to ignore us. So we kind of think of it a little bit overboard and doing too short of notice, but saying just contact us in a certain amount of time so we can arrange to have that done. And if you have no questions for me, I'll run that off to Jacob. He can fill in a little bit more details of what they've done.
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay, do you want to do anything?
Okay.
Okay. Couple points though, if we might, just, and I thought it was important that for council to be clear with regards to let's just say fence in general, the permit is applied for fence, and does the city survey individual properties to ensure that fence line is on not on city property?
No.
The responsibility for that is
not the homeowner.
Yes.
Can I expand? The fence permit regulations actually came into effect, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, in response to someone putting up a fence in the corner of, I forget which street, but at Franklin's Boulevard. And actually, 15 years ago. And it made, created a site obstruction because people couldn't see around the fence of cars coming in front of the Boulevard. So we actually brought that to the council, and the council changed the code to require fence permits with the express purpose of doing that, to make sure that there was not a site obstruction. And so that's the purpose of the fence. So that's actually what we check for, and it actually says that in the code, and it says that in the permit, I do believe, that we check for site obstructions, and then after that, it's up to the person putting the fence up to ensure that they're on their property line and not putting it on somebody else's property.
Okay. All right, so that was one question that was raised, and I just wanted to be sure that the council understood that the process for the permit application and approval. Lights are on. Councilmember Cann.
Well, Brad, you're saying that at Lord's Lake, the city owned the property that was being used.
Yes.
The permanent structures.
Yes.
But in these other areas, we don't own the property.
We don't own the property. We have a maintenance easement. We have a stormwater easement to maintain our stormwater system across that property. And it's actually a separate piece of property. That's the strip of the ditch. It's 25 feet wide. That's not owned by any of the adjacent property owners. It's owned by the Wilhelms.
So is that the ditch plus the 5 feet on the other side?
Or whatever distance it is. The ditch kind of wiggles all the distance. Yes.
And the fences that are in question on those are actually involved in easement on any city property.
Right. Okay. They're on somebody else's property. They're on somebody else's property, but within a city easement. Yes.
Okay. Just want to clarify that. Thank you.
And Councilmember Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. When we talked about this before, correct me if I'm wrong, but we were always talking about the Lord's Lake area.
Yes, this is the first time we talked about, specifically about the Black Horse Ditch.
Okay.
Yes.
And the issue from the city attorney was that it's a liability issue for the city, if I recall.
For the requirement to have everything moved and not allowing someone else to take care of the ditch on the city property, correct.
And so, and I don't know where the individuals that spoke today, whether that's Lord's Lake or the Black Horse area, but.
One of each.
Okay. So, We were discussing the potential liability for the city at Lord's Lake, which, according to all the research we've done, we have really no way of getting out of that liability. The other issue, the Black Horse area, it's not a liability issue. It's just strictly an easement. easement issue. It's getting too deep.
Could extend to a liability issue when we can't clean the ditch and it backs up and floods somebody's property. So there is that liability, but it's not the liability of the structure itself.
Okay. All right, I just wanted to make sure that I have that distinction.
Councilmember Hammond.
So if I can just clarify also, so for the Lloyd's Lake area, we gave them an extra 2 weeks last meeting. So now the southern area, we haven't talked about it at all. We the city, decided to, we better clear these out too for the same reasons, good reasons. But how much time did we give them? Because I know the Lloyd's Lake people had a lot of notices ahead of time, and there was a lot of discussion. So I'm wondering what notice, how much notice we gave these other.
The other ditch got 30 days. Part of the reason why, when we originally talked about Lawrence Lake, we discussed what was actually physically there. And in the case of the 153rd Black Horse, which you want to call it, we're looking at specifically fences and some landscaping. Lawrence Lake actually had structures, some extensive landscaping with tiered gardens and things like that, which were, in our opinion, going to be a little bit more time-consuming and difficult to remove. The Black Horse situation is a little more related to things that would be, I hate to say that they'd be simple because it's a lot of work no matter how you do it, but less difficult to remove, I think, would be appropriate. There aren't all standing structures, it's simply fences.
And then how many fences are we talking about in that area?
On the 153rd, we're talking about three fences.
30?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I think, just my input, if I were putting myself in the homeowner's shoes, getting this letter and not having any clue as to what's been going on with the Lloyd's Lake situation, I think I would be pretty well shocked. And just have 30 days, to say the least, I would be pretty well shocked. So I would probably be here at the meeting, you know, trying to appeal to us to extend that out somehow or work with them. So I think there must be a way that we can work with, if you're only talking three people with fences, I would think there's a way that we could say the people with fences have, you know, 90 days or some other, I think a year is too long, but 90 days or some other shorter term to be able to clear the fence, move it to the right line. And those are my thoughts.
Okay. I can interject at this point. I completely agree with you. Going backwards, of course, you can't undo what's been done, but looking at this, I guess, retrospectively, I think that's appropriate, number one. Number two, I think that it would be helpful if council set at this meeting a time frame that we could use as a city to stand by, saying 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and then, of course, that would depend on emergent need, i.e., we discover something and it's a situation where we are in danger of causing property damage elsewhere. And so I think the main thing in these situations is that it's not the folks that are adjacent to the area that needs clean that are going to suffer the damage. It's the people upstream because it flows downhill. And so it may not be any neighbor that you ever drive by, but it's going to come out of that location. Second thing is the driver behind this is really the Clean Water Act and the NPDES. It really is pushing this type of maintenance, and that ditch has been there for 20-some-odd years and has never been dug out, has been mowed numerous times, is to the point where it's not functioning properly and stuff does need to be cleaned. That's really what's pushing this issue, and my hope is that as we go forward we can eliminate this process as far as civil unrest. Hopefully we can work with people and find compromise in that here's what council has decided, and we'll go through the process and try to do a little bit better job communicating up front. I think that'd be appropriate. So
to that point, when we had the discussion with regards to Lord's Lake in the 30-day, council directed to give 30-day notice to them originally. It was at that time that it was 45. When did we come up with the 30-day on the others? Because I know that we had had discussion with regards to that.
As Jacob said, it was the extent of the materials that needed to be removed at Lord's Lake versus what was on the path.
Gotcha. Councilmember Gale.
So when we were talking about the Lord's Lake, we looked at a variety of different options. I mean, we were working, you know, hey, is there a lease option? We had everything on the table.
Sure.
But in that specific instance, I'm actually kind of echoing Councilman Williams, you know, comments. The reason why we chose not to go either one of those directions was because of the insurance, basically our insurance company coming back and saying there's really no way because of this particular location to mitigate this. But have we really looked at this particular?
I can tell you with reasonable security that it's going to be the same answer because of the flooding concern, and then also the federal mandate, the Clean Water Act, is a big driver behind this. And so when we violate the Clean Water Act or are close to violating the Clean Water Act, we are putting ourselves in a substantial position of liability as far as being open to lawsuits. So if we don't perform maintenance in a timely fashion, once we've inspected something and find that it doesn't work, we're in violation of our NPDES permit, which opens the door to being sued. So there's, it is different, but kind of the same.
Got it. I hear what you're saying. I think the liability is less on this one.
It is, it's different. I think financially it's greater. From a personal standpoint, it's less.
Yeah. Right. So, but with that in mind, I know, I mean, the reason we were even hesitant extending was because of perceived increased liability, but I do think there's less than this. You know, I mean, you said it yourself where it's been 20 years.
Right, it's that timeline piece. Once we find something that's not working properly, we've inspected it, and a clock starts ticking, essentially.
What's the clock?
It's 6 months to 18 months, depending on what the structure is.
From when you just discovered?
Correct, yeah.
When was the exact date that we discovered?
I don't know off the top of my head. It's pretty recent, though. It's the last time we mowed it. We essentially did an inspection and found that it was at the break point where it needs to be now maintained.
Okay. So that would be a good date to know.
Yeah. I would think within reason we could, just off the top of my head, I'm thinking a year would be the maximum amount of time, so we would also need time to actually perform the maintenance before that year was up.
Okay. So, thanks.
Councilor Geary?
Thank you. I would agree with Councilor Hanford. I didn't think an extension is sort of separating the two. Certainly, an extension for the Black Horse area, I think, is wise. It was requested as well. Again, I think a year is a little too long, but extension is a certain number. So, yeah, a lot of regulations and a lot of stuff, which sounds like even more liability potentially. I agree. It would be nice to know, you know, when that is, just so we can answer questions. Kind of when you discover the ballpark, at least when you discover this, so we can say. So we have that information as well. But I guess my overall desire is, you know, is consistency as much as possible with each scenario. So, but, you know, we do something here, you know, we have the same kind of, we do it the same wherever it takes place in the city, so that there's the least amount of unrest. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Councilor Davis.
So we're not talking about just weeding the ditch as far as maintenance.
No, we're talking about actually ditching is what we call excavators, dump trucks,
because
digging.
Because they had recommended or suggested that they could maintain it by weeding it, but that's not going to.
Yeah, that's it.
We're looking at something more like the lawns of the ditch that runs between the industrial park there and going out there and digging it.
Correct,
out.
Yes.
So that's a lot more extensive.
Real one question. How long will it take? The maintenance, just an estimate would be fine.
I would think it would take about a week. It's not a terribly long stretch.
So and I'm just doing this off the top of my head. If we have a year timeline, then technically 51 weeks duration, and then one complete hour, so that would be
right.
Blue sky or something.
That's it, right? Yeah. I think the other part of that, though, is that we have a small window in Western Washington, which we can perform ditch maintenance. It really can't be done in the spring or the fall, certainly not the winter.
So definitely summer.
Yeah, it's basically the end of July through August and the beginning of September, really the only time we can do that within our permitting process, as well as the fact that the wetness is an issue the rest of the year.
Okay, so, again, just blue sky days. If you discover this, if we've got a year clock going right now,
right.
It's July 2013 would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
The start of it.
Right, and I think that's something we're definitely amenable to. So.
Thank you.
Anything else, Councilmember Kim?
I'm in.
Any other questions or ideas? All right, then, Councilmember Kim?
No, I'm off.
Okay. All right, so you can get to that. Councilmember Williams?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Are there any other issues or any other areas that this is a problem in, or that, a week ago we thought it was one area, now it's two areas, or we're going to find out a week from now there's three areas or more?
At risk of disagreeing with you slightly, when we talked about this last time, I mentioned that there are several other areas in the city where this is an issue, and I know of one other one off the top of my head. I haven't had a chance to have staff do the research on easement ownership situation, and then inevitably there will be some more, because folks do build and bring things out into these areas because they see them not being used or not being maintained for periods of time, and then
sure.
They kind of had assumption, oh, I can use that space, and which is logical.
So it seems like whatever we do needs to be consistent for everything.
I
definitely understand the difference between liability of somebody encroaching on your land and an easement issue. As you stated, the federal regulations don't care. They will fine the city, and they aren't going to care if the citizens came here and asked for extra time.
Right.
So they're really very similar issues. And so I guess I would like to see a consistent date for everything and a consistent policy. And it just says that by this date, it's going to be done, but that we don't have to talk about one area one week and another area another week, and then make exceptions for people that want extra time. I think it makes sense that we allow extra time now, but that's the same deadline for all of these areas, and that we're proactive in going out and doing that. We clearly can't do things like, somebody's offering to keep the area up because while they might do it, they move, sell their house, the next people don't. And I mean, it never works. And so we can't control that. So I think we have to be proactive with the things that we can control. And to me, that's having a consistent date for all of these areas throughout the city. And at that point, there's no exceptions.
So would council like to see a piece of policy come back, or would council like to make a decision by consensus, perhaps take a vote? If you were to go federal regulation and allow for a period of maintenance time, I would think a 9-month time frame in which to remove things would be reasonable, because that gives maintenance then 3 months to occur.
I would agree that seems so more than reasonable. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
We'll bring back policy. Thank you.
That's what we have.
Yeah, I was just going to say 6 to 9 months sounds like it would give enough time for everything. Thank you.
Councilmember Kedavan.
Thank you. Jacob, just going to add that I agree coming back with a policy and treating this all together, because doing it bit by bit can be difficult and treat them the same. Is there a way? You said there were maybe a couple other areas that have the same issue, that we could get a letter out saying we are drafting a policy, this is forthcoming, know when it is, we're going to set timelines when you're going to have to remove this, and kind of give them a heads up, because it sounds like the property owners in the Black Horse, that this was it a surprise? I mean, we sent them a letter saying you have to remove your stuff in 30 days.
I would say that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm not placing blame, but they get a letter 30 days. So is there a way that we can tell them this is coming down the pipeline, we're crafting a policy, we'd like your input, this is going to probably affect you, water bill, however, on the website,
yeah.
Just get it out there so we're not sending a letter 2 weeks from now to another, after we've crafted the policy, we're sending a letter to another group of residents. I know it sounds like just 3 fences in this area, but my husband built our fences, not wants to do.
No.
And then just giving people a heads up of safety of a child and things of that matter. I mean, I want to give them the longest possible time, knowing that we have to do this. I mean, we have to do this by the city. We have to treat all the landowners the same. We can't have private structures on city property. It's a liability, and for all those reasons, we have to go this route. But it would be nice to give people a heads up, craft a policy that we think is going to be fair and objective across the city. And if we can give people, or at least attempt to give people notice that we're doing this, that would be ideal.
I think we can do that. I also think, as part of that policy, we'll have essentially a notification plan that we follow, so that it's consistent with everyone. There's not just a time frame that's saying this is what needs to be done, but also how we're going to go about the process. And most likely that policy would be delivered with the letter, just so people they understand it from beginning to end when they get their first interaction. So we try to do this stuff personally. We have an employee in our department, Vince Bertrand, who's very good at delivering bad news to people, unfortunately for him. Sometimes that doesn't work out. And so it's just the way it works with people's work schedules and things like that.
Thank you.
Quick clarifier, you asking the notice goes out to any potential property or any property that exists along either easement or city property that might potentially
Jacob was saying that he knew a couple areas or that this was probably a problem. Like when he mentioned, we talked about Lord's Lake and he said there were a couple other areas. It sounds like you have some idea of some other areas in the city where this is happening. I would like to involve those landowners in the process sooner rather than later, you know, rather than just sending them the policy or sending them a letter saying you're removing it within this time when they might not even be aware that their structure or fence or whatever is on city property are causing an issue. So
and just to back that up, we haven't done the research yet to find out if we are in a position where it is an easement or perhaps a right-of-way or city property.
Right.
Or
right.
So.
Right. But I would rather have all our ducks in a row and do a little bit of research and figure out and then set the policy and then go forward.
I guess the notice would go to those individuals that have been identified as encroaching upon.
Yes.
What about individuals that 6 months from now encroach upon?
Well, then I would hope the policy is set and it's published and it's out there. Right now we don't have that, it sounds like. So once that policy is set, I do believe there is some responsibility on residents and landowners that, you know, it's out there, it's public, it's there. You know, people are expected to know are expected to obey the codes of our city. They might not know them all, but they're there. So, you know, I think once that's published, I think it's fair to assume that people need to try to follow the policies. Sure.
Just when someone comes in for a permit to build a fence, that maybe it would be including that in the permitting process, just and it may already happen today, it's the responsibility of the owner to identify property lines, and if they were to accidentally build, that this would be the process that would happen. You'd have to get the structure down or incur the expense of the same thing. Maybe that could be a proactive side of things.
Okay, so just play the devil's advocate here. So, for 9 months is what we've talked about because we have a 3-month window really for maintenance of several of these ditches. What happens if we have an individual who builds something in June? Do we give them 9 months? No, you give them to 30 days.
30 days.
I think that's going to be flushed out in the policy when we write the policy, and I think that's a great question. And, you know, it's got to be, I think the one of the most important things is they've got to be able to do the maintenance through that 3-month window.
Pretty much.
So, you know, that's the important thing, so that we're obeying the law and following through with our legal obligations that we need to.
So it could be as few as 30 days, as much as 90 days.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's really the defining thing is when the point that it's identified, right?
That can be part of the policy.
Right.
And the hope is that once we have the policy, and if we're getting it out there a little bit more, that gives notice a little bit more. So if somebody is building and they, you know, they know that, oh, if I do build on this, I'm going to have this timeframe to take it down. I mean, it might help to have it published.
Yeah, I was just asking with regards to the policy that we bring back. We just say strictly 9 months. We run into a problem. You know, if they build in June and policy says 9 months, then they get 9 months plus.
Right.
Well, essentially, they're going to have a year because
I think it would depend on the condition too. If it's an emergency condition, is it going to cause a problem, or can we deal with it appropriately in 9 months? Which in most cases, we can coordinate our inspections so that 9 month window works out with our work, which is what we do now. So,
Councilmember Hamlet,
is there a way that maybe the policy could be brought to the council next week, or is that pushing it too much?
Before we bring any policy, we'll have to have our attorney review it as well.
An outline could be brought next week.
No, I guess what I'm asking is if we can get it passed and pushed on, then we could mail out the mailers. Not mail out a mailer saying there's a policy coming, and then a week or two later, here's the policy. Just do it all at once and say, here's the policy. But if it's going to be... If you think if it's going to be 2, 3, 4 weeks before we actually have a policy in place, then I definitely agree that we need to get something out right away to these homeowners that are kind of living in limbo right now. That'd be my thought. I don't know.
Probably not going to get here next week. It does. I mean,
and then we're adjourned for the following week. So if we're talking 3, 4 weeks, right? Who do you think logically before we have something to pass?
Mm-hmm. Kevin, what do you go for?
Yeah.
Nobody's in limbo. They haven't been affected. So there's no way that's hanging on. You know, that no one. I mean, we have these two areas that we've already talked about, but beyond that. There's nobody there. Yeah, exactly. They don't even know. So I don't know that there's not so much of an urgency. That's it. I mean, I want them to be able to do their research. I want it sooner than later, but I think it's going to take a lot longer to actually identify all the places, at least what I'm hearing, and then actually put together a policy that makes sense where we're going to talk about it, obviously, a couple times.
Sure.
It's probably a couple months out, I would think, but thank you for yielding.
Yeah, my thought was if there's three people with fences, and one of them's here tonight, and the other two don't have a clue from the city unless we contact them, that, hey, we're going to give you more time. That's where I was going with that. I'm not thinking about all the future people right now. I'm just talking about the emergent need right now. You know, my suggestion would be let's contact either by mail or by phone these people that we say, hey, you got 30 days. And when I was here now tonight, concerned about that, let's contact the rest of them and say, policy's being put together, we'll give it another look and we'll get back to you. Just those people. That would be my suggestion.
Right.
Okay. I would suggest that we split those two things out. The policy doesn't affect the current people. We can work individually with the people we've already talked to find out when they can get it done and give that to them. And then future things would be the policy, so that no one's sitting out in limbo waiting, going, you know, is it going to be next week? Is it going to be sometime in the future? Is that we'll work with the three individuals who we've already talked to at Blackwater's for a schedule for them, and then bring back a policy for future occurrences.
Sounds good.
Councilor Williams.
Thank you. Are you kind of looking at a deadline date like May 1st of next year?
That appliance date?
Yes,
that would seem appropriate.
I would start talking in terms of that instead of 90 days, because 90 days out of 9 months has the implication that if we don't adopt this policy for another 4 months, then we still have 9 months after that.
So it would seem that we start talking about a compliance date of May 1st. And I would also suggest, if you're going to be reaching out to the families individually that currently have structures, that you, I'm assuming there's something has to be made clear that if for whatever reason it's an emergency and we have to get in there, we will get in there. And, you know, we're giving a grace period to May 1st. We would strongly recommend you being proactive and being ahead of that grace period, because in case of an emergency, we are going to have to go in and by whatever means, you know, necessary to get in there. I just don't want to see that coming back, you know, because we've extended a grace period and then it comes back and bites us for doing that.
Right. Okay, I'm just thinking of the policy itself. I was, instead of doing 9 months or something like that, actually doing a date, you know, and so Jacob's crew would be out there inspecting, you know, run across something in fall, you know, end of July or August or something like that. At that, because that's when we're going to decide what to do in the future, you know, what ditches need to be cleaned. And have it say, at that time, we send out to everybody in that ditch and say, we're going to be cleaning your ditch next year, so they don't run out, you know. We come back next year and say, like, well, there was an offense there last year, so they know not to build one. And if there's anybody who actually has one there, then they get the policy that says you have to have it out by May 1st, you know, May 31st, whatever that is, in order to allow us to clean it next year.
We could also just proactively put something out, utility bill, saying that that over the next X months, we're going to be a lot more proactive in looking for this stuff. So just to give everybody a heads up,
right,
no matter where they are.
So, you're going to work with the individual properties. At the same time, bring back policy recommendations based on both your understanding of regulatory requirements as well as legal requirements and legal parameters that our city attorney sets forth, and we'll bring those back to council at some time. So there's not a rush. I think we'll be able to meet needs on both ends, both immediate and long term, with this direction that council is giving.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I forgot to mention, we made a meeting. Administrator Brazel was not feeling well, and so rather than having him come in and get us all sick in the chambers, I politely asked him to go, and I said, shoot. So he's home this evening, not well. So looking forward to next week's agenda. You see the items listed there. I'll just ask as you review if there's anything that you would like to add to that, or subtract, or change. If not, we'll leave as is. Unless something else comes up, we'll be sure to notify council. As mentioned, we do not have a meeting on September 25th. Is there anything that the council would like to add to the extended agenda? When you note that we do have on October 16th a presentation of general fund and internal fund services. And it's also our preliminary 2013 budget and budget message. We'll be filing that with the clerk and council. Sorry, actually, this is 9 is our preliminary budget in preparation for that. Anything else from council? Anything to report from council? Council this evening? Council member Camp?
I just wanted to mention that the Friends of Monroe Library asked me to drop on some pads at your desk. Courtesy of their 50th anniversary.
And thank you.
Councilmember Gamble?
Just a quick reminder, next Tuesday the 18th, I will be out of town on business, so I will not be in attendance.
No, could be a party, Councilmember Gamble would not be here. We always have fun.
We're not going to have
a long one, and Councilmember John. Okay, thank you very much for the discussion tonight, and take time to remember and observe. With that said, our meeting for this evening is adjourned.